the hearts of humans are bent on evil. There's this problem called sin that I deal with. I believe I've been saved from it through the grace of Jesus, but it continues to be a problem. And each and every one of your hearts are also bent on evil and sin and the rest of humanity. So I begin this message with that level playing field. I stand before you today as a man whose heart is bent on evil, and that's a problem. As Paul says in one of his epistles, I do the very things that I want not to do, pulled to those very things. I know what I want to do, but I don't do them, and I do the things that I don't want to do. Sin is a significant problem in the hearts of humans. That is evident in this text, and that is evident today and today in our world. So we come in this sanctuary with a similar problem, the problem of sin. It started in the book of Genesis when Adam and Eve rebelled against God and chose to eat of the fruit they were not supposed to eat of. And that unravels, and it continues to be a problem now. I'm reading from the golden calf encounter in the book of Exodus. Some of you might be familiar with the story, but if not, that's okay too. This text I read, that was read before this message today, is an intercession from Moses. He sees the sin of the people. He sees that it is a significant problem and goes before the Lord and says, perhaps I can make atonement for this. Perhaps I can make this right. See, chapters earlier, the law of God had been given. That includes the Ten Commandments and various other laws. Moses goes on the mountain with God. The people of Israel are under the leadership of Aaron and Hur. Aaron was a priest. And after 40 days, when Moses is up on the mountain, they start to say, what has become of this Moses? And so they go to Aaron and say, let's make our own God. Let's make this golden calf. Let's make a God that is graven in our own making. Aaron does this. He takes a graving tool, makes a golden calf. They also hold a feast to the Lord and rise up early the next day and offer burnt offerings and sacrifices to God. There's a lot going on here. And this shows at least one thing. And Aaron says this to Moses, even though Aaron was guilty of a sin of fashioning this God. Moses says, why did this people do to him that you brought such a great sin upon them? Aaron says, you know the people, that they are set on evil. This isn't a pagan nation he's talking about. This is the people of God, God's chosen people. They chose to make a god of their own image. They chose to say, yes, we'll have festivals to the Lord, but we will also make this golden calf. They chose to do this. This was God's people, not one of the pagan nations. The hearts of humans are bent on evil. The Israelites received God's law and were unable to keep it because their hearts were evil. There was an inability. Was it God's fault that they were not able to follow the law that he had given them? No. It was on the people. Their hearts had a significant inability to follow God's perfect law, and we do as well. I know I do. I can look at the Ten Commandments. I can look at the law in the early part of the Bible. I can look at the Gospels, and I can look at the epistles and know that I fall short. That I can know that I sin and that I do evil in the sight of the Lord. Sin is a problem. Why is it a problem? That's a word we throw around in the church a lot. It is something that our culture reviles at, something that our culture denies. If you ask someone what is the existential threat of humanity, if you go to Sioux Falls on Phillips Avenue and ask people, what is the existential threat to humanity? Who's going to say sin? People might say a range of things such as, oh, the economy will be the existential threat to us if that doesn't go right. Or environmental things can be our existential threat. Becoming poor and losing all my possessions can be my existential threat. I have such great possessions, and what if I lose that? That will be a threat to me. But culture does not look at the existential threat to humanity, which is sin, and through it comes death. The people of Israel chose to fashion this golden calf, and people were slain because of it. 3,000 people died. Very intense and very serious. The end road to sin is death. The end road to sin is eternal separation from God. The end road to sin is separation from God in hell, where he is not. It is a huge problem. And so what is the solution? Exodus chapter 32, verses 30 through 35, Moses goes up and makes intercession, that big word I said earlier. He has a desire to go and intervene on the behalf of the people. He desires to go and speak on their behalf. The Israelites had Moses as an intercessor, and we now have Jesus Christ. The sin that we all deal with and that we're born into, the way our hearts are bent on evil, is a problem, and we need to be set free from it. We can be set free from the consequences of sin. We can be set free from death. We need an intercessor to be set free from sin and death. We need someone to plead our cause with God. We need someone to pay the sacrifice for our sins, pay the price for it. Sin is direct rebellion against God's law and his ways. And that's the divine law. We may think, what's the big deal of that? Culture may think, what's the big deal of breaking these rules that we've been given? God is perfect and he's holy and he's loving. Sin is a cancer that eats away at our hearts. He loves us way too much to let the things that we do wrong eat away at our hearts. He hates it. He's far too loving to ignore it. And so we're going to see in this text that there is a solution, there is intercession that is available to us. We find from this text today that we need an intercessor that makes atonement for our sins. We need an intercessor that is self-sacrificial. And we need an intercessor that is a leader. At least these three things we need to be set free from sin and death. First, we need an intercessor that makes atonement for our sins. Notice Moses the next day says to the people, here in verse 30, the next day Moses said to the people, "You have sinned a great sin." We hear this phrase, "His mercies are new every morning." Here's the next morning, the guilt of sin is still there. It's still a problem. It's still a problem with the people of God. And Moses says, "You have sinned a great sin, and now I'll go up to the Lord. Perhaps I can make atonement for your sin," he says. See, we need an intercessor that makes atonement for our sin. There is a way set up in the Old Testament to atone for sin by sacrificing animals. Because the Bible says, without blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Atonement is a sacrifice that is made, that when it is made, we are counted righteous on our behalf. It is a price to be paid. And Moses says, perhaps I can go make atonement for your sin. What's the Lord going to say to that? Let's find out here. So Moses returned to the Lord and said, alas, this people has committed a great sin. They have made for themselves gods of gold. But now if you will forgive their sin, but if not, please blot me out of your book that you have written. Moses is saying this to the Lord. If you won't forgive them, please blot me out of the book that you have written. Please give me the consequences of sin. Please blot my name out and give me death so that these people can live. Moses loves these people so much, and that's what the people of God need. They need an intercessor that loves them so deeply and is willing to make atonement for their sins, that is, pay the price that is necessary to make us right with God. And so we need an intercessor that is self-sacrificial too. Notice how Moses says to the Lord, if you won't forgive them, please blot me out of my book. Please do away with me so these people can live. I know they've committed a great sin. I know they are unable to follow because their hearts are bent on evil. So please accept me as atonement. But the Lord said to Moses, whoever has sinned against me, I will blot out of my book. The Lord is saying, no, Moses, it's not going to be you. I'm not going to blot your name out of the book. Whoever has sinned against me, I will blot out of the book. But now go and lead the people to the place which I've spoken to you. Behold, my angel shall go before you. Nevertheless, in the day when I visit, I will visit their sin upon them. We need an intercessor to make atonement on our behalf because we cannot do it. We need an intercessor that is self-sacrificial on our behalf. And we need one who is a leader. And so after having paid these price, we need a leader to lead us. We can't go about life on our own way because of the conditions of our hearts. And so God says, but now go and lead the people to the place about which I've spoken to you. Behold, my angel shall go before you. The people have sinned a great sin, and now you lead them. You lead them. Notice how Moses wasn't the man, though. Moses does go up before the Lord and say, can I be blotted out of the book so these people can live? And God says, no. I will pay back whom I pay back. So where does that leave us? This leaves us with the reality that Jesus Christ is not a mere man. Jesus Christ isn't a myth. Jesus Christ isn't a fairy tale, but he is God. His name was Emmanuel, God with us. He was 100% God, 100% human. He was always God. He has existed eternally, and he continues to exist eternally. Jesus Christ is the intercessor that we need. Jesus Christ is the greater Moses that came on our behalf to deal with this problem of sin, to deal with our hearts. Jesus Christ came to make atonement for our sin. He lived a perfect life. This law I was talking about that includes the Ten Commandments and various other laws, I believe there's about 650 of them, he came to live all that out perfectly on our behalf. Even though that we are rebellious, even though that our hearts are bent on evil, even though that there is justice to be paid, Jesus Christ came to reverse this curse. He came to make atonement for our sin. He was the perfect Lamb of God that was offered once and for all. Jesus came, fulfilled the law of God, lived everything out perfectly, because we could not. He came and died a perfect man, but also he was God. He came and made atonement that we need today, that I need. I stand before you today fully acknowledging that I need this atonement every day. And I truly believe in faith that Jesus Christ has paid the penalty for my sins, and he can pay the penalty for anyone. No one is too far gone. No one is, quote-unquote, so bent on evil that they cannot receive Jesus' gift that he has paid on the cross for us. Jesus is also self-sacrificial. Notice that he was God, 100% God. And it was painful for him to come and dwell among us. In John chapter 2, he says, I know what is in the heart of a man. And the tone behind that is, I know what is in the heart of a man. And that heart is bent on evil. I know what goes on. But he knows this. And even though he knows this, he continues toward Jerusalem, gives up the glory of heaven, even is abandoned by God the Father for 3 days. He says, my God, why have you forsaken me? He gives up all of this on our behalf. He is so self-sacrificial. Jesus Christ is the greater Moses. Even though that we have committed this great sin, he comes to make payment on our behalf, and it's available to us today. We need an intercessor that is a leader. We need an intercessor that is a leader. Jesus Christ is the great shepherd. Even though our hearts, we have been delivered from the curse of sin, yes, but as long as we are in our human bodies, we continue to deal with sin. And so we look to the leader, the man Jesus Christ, we look to. We do not look to ourselves. Because brother and sisters, in our sin, if we look to laws and regulations to bring us back, to make us in right standing with God, if we look to laws and regulations alone, we will surely die. If we look to the man Jesus Christ, and then out of that, live out the Christian life, on the contrary, that is powerful. The intercessor is Jesus Christ. So what then for us this morning? What then for Grandview Church? I want to read to you a few verses later after this atonement has been made, after this intercession has been made. That is an intercession. Moses speaks on the behalf of the people of Israel. He goes up to God. The plague is sent, and then a few verses later, Moses is in the tent of meeting, starting in chapter 33, verse 7. Now Moses used to take the tent and pitch it outside the camp, far off from the camp, and he called it the tent of meeting. And everyone who sought the Lord would go out to the tent of meeting, which was outside the camp. Whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people would rise up, and each would stand at his tent door and watch Moses until he had gone into the tent. When Moses entered the tent, the pillar of cloud would descend and stand at the entrance. So that saying, Moses would go into the tent, the presence of Almighty God is with him. The Lord would speak to Moses, and when all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, all the people would rise up to worship, each at his door. Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to a friend. When Moses turned again into the camp, his assistant Joshua, a young man, would not depart from the tent. Moses went in to talk to God. But behold, the man Jesus Christ enters the tent built by God and continually talks to God on our behalf. This is the reality in which we live in now. This is what Jesus Christ does today. He lives to make intercession. He lives to seek and save the lost. He lives to dwell in the tent with the Lord and make constant intercession for us, constantly pleading on our behalf, constantly saying, Lord, come in between them and their sin. They know not what they do. The book of Hebrews is really helpful with this. Hear these words. Chapter 8, verse 1. Now the point in what we are saying is this. We have such a high priest, one who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven, a minister in the holy places in the true tent that the Lord set up, not man. For every high priest is appointed to offer gifts and sacrifices. Thus it is necessary for the priest also to have something to offer. See, the people in the book of Exodus had priests that would dwell in a tent made by man. We have a priest, a high priest, namely Jesus, that dwells in the tent built by God. He is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven, the minister in the high places, in the true tent that the Lord God has set up. He has set up this way for us to have redemption and salvation. So, in conclusion, we trust in this Lord, the Lord Jesus, and his ways. What does this mean for you, Grandview Church? What does this mean for me? We all come into this room with hearts that are set on evil, but we also come into this room knowing that we have such a great high priest, such a great intercessor, such a great God who pleads our case for us, that even though we are guilty, we are made right through his blood. And we are given his spirit. We are given his leadership. He is our leader. We walk out those doors, not trusting in ourselves, but trusting in the Lord for our salvation and for our continual process here on earth as we are made more and more like him. We do not trust in a man. We do not trust in the world. We do not trust in ourselves for this problem, for the solution to this problem. Grandview Church, going forward, who is the great shepherd of this church? It is Jesus Christ. Who is the cornerstone of this church? It is Jesus Christ. Who is the senior pastor of Grandview Covenant Church? It's Jesus Christ. Go in that and trust. Trust that he is your pastor. Trust that he is your intercessor. Trust that he will lead and guide you wherever you go. Trust that he can guide you where no man can lead you and where you cannot lead yourselves. Trust not in man, but in the one man, Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and who is our Savior. This message may find us in a variety of settings, in a variety of places. I plead with you to trust in Jesus Christ with this problem of sin. I talk to myself, too. I trust in the Lord Jesus. I trust him with my life. put your full confidence and put all your trust and your hope and bank everything and waste everything on Jesus Christ. Trust him with your sin. Trust him with the darkest part of your heart. Trust him with your future and your past. Only trust him to plead your cause. And in that truth, go out those doors knowing and confident that you can draw near to him at all times, your high priest, your senior pastor, that he loves you and he cares about you, and it's quick to plead your cause. The Lord loves each and every one of you so much. The Lord wants to offer his grace and his truth freely to each and everyone in this room. Amen.